So this morning's topic, which in Hebrew is called chisun, from the word lechasos, means to cover, is the topic of vaccination in halacha. Now, one important caveat before we start, generally speaking, when we have our learning on Sunday mornings, I don't like to give away the end before we get started, because then no one's going to pay attention. Why should you listen to the end if you already know what the end of the story is? But in this case, I will make it very clear at the outset so that if anybody doesn't like this ending, they may not want to stay. And that is that in the understanding that I have in halacha, not from my own personal understanding, but from the poskim that have come before, it is appropriate, proper, potentially mandatory, obligatory to vaccinate yourself and your children. And the whole notion of not getting vaccinated, in my understanding, does not have halachic merit. And so if people are part of the anti-vax group, this may not be the best year for them. But let's kind of take a look at it. In terms of your own research, so there is a lot of, there is actually a lot of discussion the last couple of years in halachic literature about vaccines. So I will reference several really good articles. The first one is published in Tradition by Dr. Yigal Shafran. Yigal Shafran is a very prominent physician. I actually had the chance to hear from him once. He came to Keren Yavne when I was learning. He was one of those who was closely connected to the Gaon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zichrono Livracha, in doing certain procedures where they did experiments trying to understand aspects of brain death. So Dr. Shafran was, he directs the Jerusalem Chief Rabbinate's Department of Medicine. So this was already way back in 1991, halachic attitudes toward immunization. And then online, my teacher, Dr. Edward Reichman, published an article in the OU's magazine. So you can get it either if you have old copies of Jewish Action, but it's available online. And before that, there's a physician, his name is Daniel Eisenberg, who writes extensively online for aish.org. So his is called The Ethics of Smallpox Immunization. So it happens to be that I emailed Dr. Reichman last week about a totally unrelated thing. It was about an article that I saw in the news about a child with three parents, which could potentially be a shear for another morning, where you have a father and then two mothers, because the DNA comes actually from a hybrid of two different women. Unfortunately, lo aleinu, the regular mother has a particular genetic defect, lo aleinu, so they take the mitochondria from another egg, from another woman, and they replace the existing material, genetic material, with this other one. So the question then becomes in halacha, well, who's the mother? So we always thought that the shah was who the mother was in the surrogate case. Now we have a whole nother layer. So I happened to forward it to Dr. Reichman. So of course he told me he's been following it for a long time already. But I happened to mention to him that this week I'm speaking about vaccination. So he sent me a whole bunch of Mar Makomos from a talk that he gives on vaccination with pictures and diagrams and all kinds of interesting things which we'll reference. So I appreciate him sending that. As well as he forwarded to me something from Rabbi Josh Flug, who put together recently, the last week or two, some research on this topic as well. So there's been a lot of discussion, but I think the most comprehensive article was an article that was published a couple of years ago by Rabbi Usher Bush from Teaneck, called Vaccination in Halacha and in Practice in the Orthodox Jewish Community. I think it was published in Chakira. He's the author of Tshuva's called Shol B'Shlomo, but he's a very well-known member. He's a Rav, I'm sorry, not Teaneck, in Muncie. He's a Rav who's very well known in the RC circles in publishing halachic tshuvas. He's the head of the Vad Halacha of the RCA. So he has a whole discussion here chronicling several episodes, outbreaks of three different episodes of outbreaks of diseases in the Orthodox community in the last couple of years. And so he goes through all of the halacha and different aspects, so it's a really outstanding article. So we're going to kind of try to cull from all of these different things just a little bit today together. So the first thing you need to think about is, okay, you have a healthy child, the child is born, thank God, everybody's fine, and now the question becomes, what measures, what proactive measures do you need to take to take care of the health of this child and the health of every person, ourselves. What does the Torah say about what we would call prophylactic care, taking care in advance? So I think we can think about this on three levels. The first one is just the basic requirement to be safe, to avoid danger. So this comes, Chazal find this in two psukim in the same parashah, Parashat Devarim, where the Torah tells us on page 1 in the packets, the Torah tells us, Rak hishamer lecha u'shmor nafshcha ma'od pentishkach es hadvarim asher ro'u einecha. In the context here, it's about not forgetting Maimon Har Sinai. But Chazal explained this elsewhere as a person being careful about their own health. As Gemara discussed the fact, the first person, God forbid, shouldn't curse themselves, they shouldn't harm themselves. So it comes from this concept, so you shouldn't harm yourself spiritually by forgetting the Torah, you also shouldn't harm yourself physically. And similarly, later on, the same parasha, the same parak, v'nishmarta ma'ol l'nafsha seichem. So the Gemara in Brachas tells a story on page 2. The Gemara in Brachas tells a story of a guy who was Tana Rabbanan, 2, 4, 5 lines on the bottom, before the underline, Maisa b'chassid echa chayim espalo b'derech. There was one pious man that was davening on the road. Basar echa v'nasan lo shalom. So an officer came by and tipped his cap to him. He gave him peace. He gave him shalom. V'lo hechza lo shalom. Why? Because he was in the middle of Shmon Esrei. Amar lo, he didn't hint in lad shesim tfilaso. He waited till the guy finished davening. La'acha shesim tfilaso. Amar le, here's the underline. Reika, idiot. Va'alo kasev b'toraschem. This guy is giving him mussar. It says in the Torah, it says in your Torah, Raki sham l'cho shmor nafshcha, uksiv v'nishmartem ol l'nafsho seichem, kishenasati l'cho shalom, lama lo echzarte li shalom. So the Gemara goes on to tell the end of the story, but the point is this guy already knew that you have to be careful about not doing dangerous things. You have to protect your health in a proactive way to avoid danger. And this is expressed in a halachic sense in a specific way, on page 3. In a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, mitzvahs asei, and notice how it's interesting how the koteret frames it as a mitzvahs asei, because usually the word hishomer, pen, al, and lo, usually are restrictive. They mean los aseis. The Shulchan Aruch formulates it as a mitzvahs asei, a proactive mitzvah, lahasir kol michshol sheyesh bo sakanas nefashos va'asiyas ma'ke legago. Shulchan Aruch breaks it into two components. Number one, a proactive mitzvah to remove all dangerous things that have a potential life-threatening impact, and the mitzvah of asiyas ma'ke. So the Shulchan Aruch starts, mitzvah sase lasas adam ma'ke legago. It's a mitzvah to put a fence around your roof. And similarly, it goes on to describe other dangerous activities, which are many of them are quoted in the Rambam, that are hazardous to your health. So there is a whole discussion about which exact particular activities are prohibited and why Chazal asked them. Specifics are not, we don't have time to focus on them this morning, but the idea that, yes, it's important to not just hishomer pen in terms of the los asei, there's also a proactive mitzvah asei to remove any potential health hazards that may be out there. And this is part of a more general perspective that we could have, that Rav Shechter likes to quote, about the fact that taking care of your health is a mitzvah. So maybe we could go on, there are certain Rambams in Hilchos Deos, so the Rambam describes how a person has to keep a healthy lifestyle. A person has to have a healthy lifestyle, not in a specific area, but in general. So you have to speak to the medical professionals. They'll tell you what constitutes having a healthy lifestyle. Shechter points out that everybody will die at some point. So, right, that's unavoidable. Everybody will die. So what is murder? What is suicide? It means hastening a person's death before they would have died otherwise. So he said in a certain way that if a person leads an unhealthy lifestyle and somebody could actually, you could go to an insurance company or to to an actuary and they could actually tell you, well, the statistical probability that your life will be shortened by, you know, X number of years, Shalom said, in a certain sense, that's like suicide. Because you're right, it's not suicide in a single act, but it's the aggregate. It's the aggregate of leading an unhealthy lifestyle that That's Ritzicha. It's not Ritzicha Babasachas, but there's a Gemara in Baba Kama that says, Hiko Bezachar Zeh. 10 people came and beat someone until they died. So in a certain sense, if a person leads an unhealthy lifestyle, that's like Hiko Bezachar Zeh. That's like the aggregate of different makos that cause the person to die early. That's akin, again, I'm not speaking literally, but it's akin to Ritzicha. Because the guy is going to die anyway. It just means shortening his life. So this is also, not having a healthy lifestyle is also akin to Ritzicha.
And how can anybody smoke?
Oh, so that's a good question. That's why in recent years, let's say recently, there was a series of tshuvas, two volumes of tshuvas published by Rav Osher Weiss, who is a very tremendous Talmud Chacham in Israel. He... I forget whether he's Kloisenberg or he's a very big Hasidic Shaddai, and he's written two tshuvas called Minchas Ashas. He was asked a tshuva, I saw it in the Chelek Aleph, he was asked a shal about smoking on Yantiv. So he has a tshuva where he says it's prohibited to smoke on Yantiv, but Bein Labein, he points out that it's prohibited to smoke generally. And this was actually a whole a whole position that was articulated in a paper by the RCA a couple of years ago by the Vat Halacha, how when Rav Moshe wrote his Shuva years ago about the permissibility of smoking based on Shomer Pesam Hashem, which we'll get to in a little bit, that was with the knowledge that there were some dangers of smoking, but they didn't know quite the extent of the dangers of the hazards of smoking Bizman Azeh. So that's why many poskim assume today that smoking is prohibited according to the Halacha. That's why that's a widespread psak. That is quite the case. Now, whether or not, whether certain people who haven't gotten through to them, so maybe for some reason they don't see it that way, but that would be the simple understanding. So now, number one, there's the lav, the minishmartim. Now there's the responsibility to be proactive. And if you want more on prophylactic care, there's an article that was published in the RJJ journal, the Journal of Halacha Contemporary Society, by... one of the authors was a cousin of ours, Dr. Sholem Bookbinder. I'm trying to remember who the other guy was who co-wrote this article, a very long article about preventative medicine. So he has like a ton more marmokomos on this topic. But now when it gets even closer to us, the responsibility to anticipate danger. Right? The child is completely healthy now, but we're worried, God forbid, some disease will come along. So there's an interesting tshuva, comment, in the Ramah, it's page 4. This is in Yoredin, Simen Kuf de Zion. In the discussion here about dangerous foods that you're not allowed to eat, the Ramah writes the following. He quotes it from the Tshuvas Ma'aril. Ma'aril's, now you're talking old, 14th century in Germany. Od Kosvu, they also wrote, Sheyesh Livroach Min Ha'ir, you should run away from the city, Kishedever Be'ir. What's Dever? A plague, plus pestilence. So remember, think back historically. Many communities, you think about the Black Plague, you think about other diseases that were running rampant, they didn't know anything about diseases in terms of how to maintain them, how to contain them, how to eradicate them. V'yesh lotzeis min ha'ir, says the Ramah, betchilas hadever, at the beginning of the plague, v'lo besofo, don't wait till the end. Don't wait until it's muchzak that there's a plague running all over the city. You have to get out at the beginning. And by the way, in those days, leaving a city was not like today. It's not like you get in the car and you just drive to another place. You know, that meant essentially abandoning your life and your livelihood, abandoning it, going on the roads which were generally rife with pirates and bandits. So in a certain sense, you're almost taking your life. So you have to think about that in that context as well. When we get back to vaccinations, it's not like we're saying, oh, yeah, when there's a vaccine in the city, when there's an outbreak in the city, you should go fly on a plane to your cousin on the other side of the country. It's not so easy. In those days, there was an element of danger just in leaving the city. Avada, that's pashut. You have to understand that merosh. Ad kedekach, you have to anticipate it. So Moshe writes in the Tshuva on page 5 that it extends also to genetic testing. Lo aleinu, there are many people who over the generations have suffered from genetic maladies that have been transferred from generation to generation through these shiduchim that maybe from a gene standpoint were not healthy. So the question is, Rav Moshe was asked this shaila, Yud Ches Adar Hasheni Tav Shin Lamed Gimel. So it's early 70s. Who is he asked by? My teacher from college, Lamalas Kvod Chosni Kibini Harav Hagon Morena Harav Moshe David Tendler Shlita. Rabbi Tendler, the Rav and Posik in Muncie, as well as the biology professor when I was in YU. He was the bioethics professor of our class. So he asked Rav Moshe, what about testing for Tay-Sex? Meaning proactive testing. They don't know if this couple's, God forbid, has this genetic marker. Should they test for it proactively? Or do you say, no, you have to have Emunah and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's it. The Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, so you have to have Emunah. By the way, before I get to this, there's one just parenthetical on the bottom of on page 4. You don't have to turn back, because we're not going to go into inside. Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Pisli Tshuva, quoting from the Rashbash, they both asked the Shaila, what's the point of running away from the city if the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world? If he's going to call my number, it doesn't matter where I am. So what's the point of running away from the city if it's my time? It's my time. Interesting Shaila. So they discuss it, but Rabbi Kiva Eger actually quotes a comment of Rabbeinu Bachaya on Chumash in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, who points out as one on this when Moshe Rabbeinu says in the catastrophe after Korach, he says, Hibadlu, get away from these people. Why do they need to get away? The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to have precision accuracy, so only the people in the Adas Korach are going to die. Why do you have to get away from them? The people next, there's an amazing Rabbeinu Bachaya. So he quotes at the end, so nonetheless, he quotes also the story of the wife of Lot, maybe Kishamidas Hadin Mesucha Ein Mavchin Bein Tzadik L'Rasha. Sometimes when there's a plague, when the Midas Hadin is out, so then it's going to potentially even affect people who otherwise wouldn't be their time. So that brings a whole host of theological questions. What about Schar V'Onesh? So obviously it's going to get recalibrated La'asa Lavo, but that's a fascinating observation. You don't just say, okay, look, the Ribbono Shel Olam, if I'm a tzaddik, he's going to take care of me, and everybody else might die from this epidemic, but it doesn't matter. So that goes from just the emunah standpoint. Just because there's an epidemic and you have emunah that you're a tzaddik gamur doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be spared from this epidemic. Because once the mashkis is out, this is what we describe also at the night of Mitzrayim, right? V'lo yitein ha-mashkis l'vol b'teichem l'ngov. The Jews were told, stay in your house. Why were they told stay in their house? The Ribbono Shel Olam was picking and choosing who was going to go, who was going to stay. But v'lo yitein ha-mashkis. So mefarshim nahagara say there was a mashkis that was out there that night besides the Ribbono Shel Olam's etzba elokim. So just because the Ribbono Shel Olam is picking such and such a person doesn't mean that another person may not get affected by this epidemic. So that's just a theological, interesting observation. So back to Rav Moshe here. So he says, "Bedvar hayiladim shenoldu lufi ateva chayim zman katzar kishnasayim v'shalosh." Nebuch, a family, children that are born, they only live 2 or 3 years, umesim, and they die, hanikra, tei sex. So, and then he describes, the father and the mother have to have this trait. Have to have this trait. Sha'af she'ein zeh chesaron lehem ba'atzmam, even though it's nothing that's manifest in them, it's recessive, ira she'noldin mezeh yelodim ke'elu. And then, v'im yesh zeh rak le'echad mehem lo yira zeh, because it's a recessive thing, both parents have to have this genetic problem. Yesh leida zemi bedika bahadam shel ha'ish v'ha'isha. You can check it with an exam of the blood of the man and the woman. Asher az kishiyeda habacher o habesula, the boy or the girl will know sheish lam chesron ze yira leikach leisha besula kazu she'in v'chesron ze. She'll be careful, and or he'll be careful to marry someone who doesn't have this problem. So I can tell you this is a whole Torah about, and there are different approaches to this. There's a project called Dor Yesharim that's involved. There's a regular project. This was a very big problem when Nechama and I were dating. It was a big problem because she went to get tested, and she fainted. And apparently, on the date afterwards, I was not sympathetic. I was sympathetic. She says I wasn't sympathetic enough. So this was a big problem. But, well, Hashem, she's fine. We're fine, and now I know to be very sympathetic in case she faints. Now I've got that down clear. So I just remember, that's right. I learned that lesson very quickly. I wasn't adequately sympathetic on the date afterwards. She's like, she's doing me a favor. So apparently I wasn't. All right, whatever. We've come a long way. Anyway, so he says, V'habesul sheish b'chesron zeh, tirelehi nasi l'baruch shem b'chesron zeh, v'rotzim leida, 5 lines from the bottom. They want to know dati ho'aniya im min haroy la habachor la besul l'shtar lezeze. Should they find this out? V'im tol le de bezeh, is it good to know this? In lasas bedikas ubekat nusam, when they're children, o rakish yagias manam li nasi, oh, when it's time for shiduchim. V'im lasas se ba'ofen pirsum obetzina, should it be public or private? So this also is a discussion today, whether or not it's better to know about it or not to know about it. If you know about it, so then it takes away some of the stigma. If you don't know about it, so maybe it's reinforcing the stigma, or it might be more effective to encourage people to actually do it if. So there are different schools of thought on this. Okay. Iyanti bezeh, v'zeh hanir laniyaz daigdi, says Rav Moshe, zechon levracha, ki afshu miyat katan yolodim noldim ke'elu, even though it's only a small percentage of children who are afflicted with Tay-Sachs, v'shayach lomer al zeh, it could have been, you could have said about this, hakra, the pasuk, detonim tiyem Hashem alokecha, that you should just be simple and complete with God, u'kishpirish rashi b'chum esham, shekasav his alechimo, Bitmimus, go with him with simplicity. Vititzapalo, velotachkar acharasidos, don't worry too much in the future. Parenthetically, by the way, Rav Moshe also has a tshuva about life insurance. Do you say tamutim Hashem alokecha, or do you say it's proper to have life insurance? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva there where he says, yes, Rav Avadya also has a tshuva in the Chavadas about the propriety of having life insurance. It's not a violation of tamutim Hashem alokecha. Rav Avadya and Rav Moshe both write. He says, Mikomokom, Kevon Sha'ata Nasa Ze Ba'ofen Kal Livdok, since now it's so easy to check, Yesh Ladun Shim Eino Bodek, it should be seen as if you don't check, it's as if it's Atzma who kisigiras ha'einayim. It's like closing your eyes, Liros Mashe Efshar Liros, to see what you can see. Umikavan Shim Chas V'Shalom, Ira Chas V'Shalom, Kazeh Davar Kazeh, Hu Lahori Hayelet Tsar Gorol Ma'od, Min Aroy Lamishet Sarach Lisa Isha Livdo Kasatzmo. V'Lachain Tov Lafarsem Hadavar Ayde Itonim, V'Ofanim Sheidu Ha'olam Sheika Bedika Kazu. It's good to publicize. Then he goes on to private versus public, etc. But says Rav Moshe, if it's something that's readily available to the masses, it's imagine a man who stands at the corner of Hamlin and Dempster, and closes his eyes and says, I'm going to walk across the street because I'm going to say Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. He says, that's not Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, that's Ma'abid Atzmo L'das, that's suicide, that's crazy. Open your eyes and see what's across the street. So Moshe says, if these tests today, and this he's writing in the 70s, if these tests are readily available, you go out and do it. And Rav Moshe is not talking about a case, as we saw, of somebody who's already ill. He's talking about being proactive about getting this test beforehand. So in this case, there's no risk, but the idea that you need to worry about your health, not achar ha'maisa, you got to be proactive beforehand, that's something that has firm basis in halacha. Okay, so now we switch gears to talk about the development of inoculation a little bit. So there was the scourge of humanity, I would say, was a problem called smallpox. Dr. Eichmann even quotes, he has a quote from Benjamin Franklin. Apparently Benjamin Franklin had, in March of 1730, he says, in 72 Bostonians inoculated in March of 1730, most of them recovered. And then he says, in 1736, I lost one of my sons, a fine boy of 4 years old, by the smallpox taken in the common way. He wrote, I long regretted bitterly and still regret that I had not given it to him by inoculation. I mention for the sake of parents who omit that operation on the supposition that they should never forgive themselves if a child died under it. My example showing that the regret may be the same either way and that therefore the safer one should be chosen. None other than Benjamin Franklin. But more important than Benjamin Franklin, in 1796, there was a guy by the name of Edward Jenner who actually created a much safer vaccine against smallpox. He actually used some cowpox, and this became a widely used method of inoculation against smallpox. And at that time, if a person was not vaccinated against smallpox, so if they got the disease, there was a 1 in 3 chance that they would die. 30% chance approximately that they would die, but if they did get this cowpox vaccination, it was between 0.5% and 2% chance whether or not they would die. So there was, at that time, there was a Rav in London, Rav Avram ben Rav Shlomo Nansish, who authored a paper, I have a Xerox copy here, a tiny copy from Dr. Reichman, called Ola Terufa, where he wrote a treatise about vaccinations because he had two sons who died because of smallpox. And he would go to a group of Rabbanim to ask them to encourage people to get vaccinated. So this is the origins of the vaccination discussion, where there was this, hundreds of millions of people died over the years from smallpox. And they finally came up with an Einfall that if you inject a small measure of this disease, later became the cowpox, then became the smallpox, but if you use a small measure of it into the person, they would develop generally an immunity to it, and it would save them, it would spare them from developing smallpox later on in life. Is that correct so far, so good?
Good.
Okay, good. That's why we thank God we have our medical expert right here live. It's always good if you can come to a share and bring your own expert. So thank you. Not that he came because of me, but that's right. So the overwhelming majority of people were benefited from this, but there were some people who were not. So the research finds, and this is actually, of course, Dr. Reichman, because he brings everything. He actually has a picture of the tombstone in the medical literature in Huntington, Long Island, which is out there on the island. There was a woman whose name was Peleg. She was 17 years old. Peleg. No, it's a man, sorry. The son of Thomas and Mary Conklin. And on the epitaph, it says that he died of the smallpox by inoculation. You could see it in letters in the graveyard. And this was 1788. So it's not that it's foolproof, but generally speaking, it was overwhelmingly healthy. So the question became, in halacha, what is the response to this inoculation? Because there's a measure of risk, and it's hard to know exactly how much everybody knew about this information. You know, for example, Dr. Reichman, an unrelated discussion, which now is actually halacha lemaisa, because in Sweden, I believe, they're doing something called a uterine transplant, where they could take the uterus of one woman, transplant it to another woman, and now they actually had a live birth from this transplanted uterus. It's an amazing thing. So Shailan Halacha, who's the mother of this child that's born from the transplanted uterus? But actually, about 100 years ago, in the 19 teens and 20s, there was a lot of halachic discussion in Eastern Europe about a uterine transplant. The thing is, though, there was no such thing. There was a report that in England, there was a physician who was doing what they thought was a uterine transplant. It wasn't actually being carried out. There was no actual birth of a child from a uterine transplant. But, you know, it's not like they had fax machines or email. So what the Rabbanim heard in Eastern Europe was this was going on. What would be the din in such a case? So they wrote different tshuvas about what would be the case, but it wasn't actually true. So it's hard to know exactly what the Rabbanim knew in terms of numbers and percentage-wise and how accurate that information was. So that's just something in general we should keep in mind. You know, maybe in a particular hospital, they knew exactly, you know, I could say today, because I did the research, and the doctor said 0.5% to 2% was the mortality rate. I don't know if they knew it was 0.5 to 2.7. Maybe they knew it was different. So that's also something to keep in mind. But if you go to the Pirsani Mishnayis of the Rebbe Yisrael Lifshitz, known as the Tiferes Yisrael, he speaks about this in page 6. In his commentary on Yuma, because Yuma is where we discuss Pikuach Nefesh. So if you look here on the bottom of page 6 in the Tiferes Yisrael, there's a whole discussion about life-saving measures. Umizeh nirali heter lasos inoculation. That's what it's called. This is the Yiddishized version. He died in 1860, so he's like right at the beginning, the first half of the 19th century, when people are donning about getting inoculated. Lasos inoculation shell. What does he say? Pakin. Pox. Pox. Inoculation shell pakin. The smallpox inoculation. Even though 1 in 1,000 dies al yedei ha-inoculatin, al kolponim nonetheless, she'im yishavu bo hapakin hativim, if they get wild pox, natural pox, hasakana krova yoser, the sakana is much closer, v'lachein, therefore, Rashoi lahachnes es atzmo besakana rechoka. A person is allowed to endanger themselves in a far-fetched, dangerous situation. Kidei lahasil hatzil es atzmo misakana kerova.
That's a heter to do with that.
Right. Right. So far, he only says that it's mutter. Right. Oh. So now, fast forward today. So today,
when was this one written?
This is written, I don't know exactly at what point in his life. He died in 1860.
The 19th century.
Early 19th century. First half of the 19th century, the Tiferes Yisrael. So he's already writing. At that point, he's saying it's Echad. He thought it was Echad Me'elef, one in a thousand, who will die from the inoculation of the pocket. Okay, today... Today, Baruch Hashem, some people here probably even remember people who had polio. People remember polio. So, since there were two guys, Zohar Latov, one's name was Sabin, the other name was Salk, these guys came up with two different vaccinations for polio. So, essentially, you have almost no incidences of polio in America today. But think about how rampant polio was. Akdekach, that there was a president in the United States who had polio. And what that meant is like, Oyem Venora, awesome. You see pictures of children in these bottles, giant bottles, iron lungs, and like, Oyem Venora, Oyem Venora. There is a book that we have at home. It's an unbelievable book called, it was written in Hebrew and then translated into English. The guy is now a head of an insurance company. He's a motivational speaker in Israel. He was a boy in the 1950s with polio, and then he had cancer and a whole bunch of other crazy things that he conquered with the B'siyah D'Shemayah, beat all of them, and he describes what his life was like growing up in the beginnings of the state of Israel with polio, living in an iron lung in Yerushalayim. In some place his parents had to visit him. I think his parents were Holocaust survivors. It was called, the book in Hebrew is called Es Halech. It's an amazing book. In English it's translated as, I forget what it's called. And his name, that also escapes me now. But it's an incredibly inspiring book, and he describes what it was like fighting polio as a kid in Israel, when you can imagine what the resources that they had. His mother used to come visit him. I think he was in some place, Yerushalayim. She used to come once a week or twice a week, and he sat there alone. He couldn't move. He was just facing the ceiling for, I think, 2 or 3 years. Oyem Venora. So now, thanks to these guys, Sabin and Salk, so they created the vaccine, the polio vaccine. Now, you're right. There is a danger in the polio vaccine. What is the danger in the polio vaccine? In the Sabin vaccine, which is the oral version, according to Dr. Eisenberg, between two and four people in a million will be severely adversely affected. 2 to 4 in a million. So therefore, he said that in many places they stop using the Sabin oral vaccine, they start giving the Salk vaccine, which is subcutaneous, it's injected, because that's even safer. It's a little less potent, but they said it's safer. So you're talking about numbers that, if you were to set this to Tiferes Yisrael, 2 to 4 in a million, that's unbelievable. That's off the charts. DTaP, I went on the website of the CDC, and they tell you the incidences, the likelihood, in the CDC website of different side effects. So most of the side effects of shots are, you know, when I take the kids for shots, so I'm not the best doctor's visit person, so I try not to look, and I hold them, and they cry, and they get a little red. So they say mild symptoms. Most kids get a little, maybe they get some fever or something. How far is this? So the DTaP, less than 1 in a million. Unbelievably, chashash rachok. How far rachok? Incredibly far. And this gets into a general principle of halacha that says, wait a second, there's always a measure of danger. There's a measure of danger in going into a car. There's a measure of danger in taking a plane. There's a measure of danger in crossing the street. So about those kinds of dangers, we say, and this is the Gemara on page 7, where the Gemara there is discussing a practice of bloodletting on certain days, where in the time of the Gemara, they thought certain days were dangerous for bloodletting. So we say, Kevan dedashu beirabim, since people have become accustomed to them, shomer psoim Hashem. God watches the foolhardy. So that means that if you have a practice which has some level of risk, but everybody does it, so we say, the Rabbono Shalom watch out for you. In that case, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry. Everybody, this I heard once, it was asked, Shiloh was asked to Rav Cook when people started driving. driving in Israel, I'm not discussing. That's a whole other. I'm not going to weigh in on that. I'm not going to chas v'shalom speak badly about Arzeinu HaKadosh. But it's not, you know, driving everywhere, let's say, is dangerous. So we're going to say you can't drive in a car. I went online, I found the National Safety Council. They say that the likelihood of being killed in a motor vehicle accident is 1 in 112. That's what they say.
So over a lifetime?
Yeah. So that's pretty astonishing. That's pretty astonishing. The likelihood of dying of heart disease, they say, is 1 in 7. What's that?
It's higher than that over the lifetime.
Oh, meaning the aggregate is much higher. The likelihood of getting struck by lightning is 1 in 136,011. Okay? Now, I don't know where they get these numbers. They have some kind of cheshbon. But the point is that you don't have to worry about that. Now, you can't be reckless. Doshu Beirabim means people have to do this. That was Rav Moshe's tshuva about smoking. He said, look, everybody smokes. There's some measure of danger, but everybody's doing it, so obviously it can't be that dangerous. So similarly, everybody's driving, everybody's going on planes. You're right, lo aleinu, in the last year we've heard of a lot of plane accidents, but think about the number of takeoffs and landings that were in O'Hare in the last 2 days. Right? So the tshuvas, the great gon, the Av Bezin of Vilna before the war, he died just before the Nazis came, but Chaim Ozer Grzesinski of Vilna, so he has a tshuva on page 8, an important tshuva. So he says, in this discussion, it's actually discussing contraception for a woman who has a potential life-threatening concern. So in the context of that, he points out, when you have chashash rachok umiyot she'eno matzui, delo chai shi rabbonan lahai, va'al zeh yesh lismok mishum shomer psalm Hashem. If you have a far-fetched concern that is less than what we call a miyot she'eno matzui, an uncommon minority, you don't have to worry about it. In that case, you say Shomer Psalm Hashem. So what is a Miyot She'eno Matsui? What's the percent? So Shechter likes to quote from the Mishkan Es Yaakov. The child of Chivas Mishkan Es Yaakov, he says it's 10%. Rabbi Yashiv says a little differently, other poskim differently. Let's say it's somewhere between, most poskim say somewhere between 7% and 15%, although there is a... I saw Rav Asher Weiss quotes in a tshuva. It's a much higher number. But the Mishkan Es Yaakov says, Rav Shechter loves this Mishkan Es Yaakov, everything, 10%. That's also 10% threshold for checking for shatness, checking for bugs, different things. Miyot She'eno Matsui, 10%. Anything less than 10%, you don't have to worry about it. You're talking one or two in a million. In a million. So, right off the bat, initially that would tell me you don't have to worry about anything. Now, two things to think about. One is, that, okay, maybe the converse is what are the chance of getting one of these things? Also less than a Miyot HaMatzui. So I have to come back to that in a minute. But what happened? This concept became actually very prevalent in Halacha that Rabbanim were encouraging people to get vaccinated. So the chief rabbi of England was actually brought into a court case, a court case in England about a Jewish guy who said that he's not going to get vaccinated because according to Jewish tradition, he can't. So the chief rabbi's name is Rabbi Herman Adler. It's quoted in the literature. He said he had to submit testimony to the court and say that that's not true. The Jewish faith does not have the anti-vaccination position. But fast forward to 1998, a guy by the name of Andrew Wakefield publishes with a couple of other guys in The Lancet, a medical journal, a very prominent medical journal, that has a propensity of
publishing pro-Palestinian.
Yeah, they also happen to publish pro-Palestinian editorials on the side, but this very prestigious medical journal publishes a study that finds a correlation between the injection that's being given for MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella, which I think was used to be called German measles, and autism. So people go wild. So now all of a sudden, now there's an anti-vaccine campaign. Everybody's against vaccines. People going crazy. Okay. One small knage. Turns out that this guy is discredited. He's discredited. And in 2010, The Lancet retracts the study. And this guy, Andrew Wakefield, is barred from practicing medicine in England. Because the other people who joined the study retracted, and they said there were gross errors. Hence, there is no medical basis to say that vaccines are dangerous. In addition, dangerous beyond what we know, in addition to the fact that Rabbi Bush points out in his article that one of the key elements of his argument was about a particular, I think it was about the one of the ingredients in the vaccine that's not even used anymore in many of the vaccines. I think it had to do with the mercury level in the vaccines. It's mamish gornish mid gornish. But what's the problem? This guy, he's still out there hacking. He's in Texas now. Because the Welt has plenty of, I don't want to use ad hominem descriptions of people. There are plenty of people out there now on Facebook, on Twitter, on the web, who are saying he's a hero. He's a hero. What was made us? What kind of a hero? But he has people who are followers. Now, there was an article 2 days ago in The Atlantic, it was published February 6th, about the movement in America of the anti-vaccine movement, and how 100 years ago, already the Supreme Court, there was a case in Boston in 1902 of a guy who didn't want to be vaccinated, and he was fined by the local municipality $5, which today was equivalent of $150. He was fined $5, and the case went to the Supreme Court, whether they have the right in the local municipality to coerce him to get vaccinated. And they said, yes. And it was upheld again in the Supreme Court a dozen years later. But what happens? You have certain people who have this anti-government conspiracy, and that's what they're discussing in the article in The Atlantic. They have these wild conspiracy theories that the government is doing this and the government is doing that. I'm not saying that the government is the savior of all mankind, but some of the things that are being propounded here are ridiculous. They're wildly ridiculous. So you combine this kind of like mob fear mentality with some discredited scientist who still believes what he had to say, and now you have a discussion afoot. So 2 weeks ago, when there's this big tumult now in Disney that there was an outbreak of the measles, which really is dangerous, so all of a sudden the anti-vaccine people, they're out there again saying, we won't get our kids vaccinated and blah, 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 blah. So from a halachic standpoint, it's hard to understand what's going on here. So then Rabbi Bush chronicles there was a certain din Torah in Lakewood that involved certain rabbanim from Chicago about exactly this question about getting vaccinated. And part of the question becomes, well, how much did the rabbanim know when they were making these, you know, how much input they have to do some research and back and forth. At the end of the day, Sof Maisa, you can look on page 9. So Dr. Abraham S. Abraham in the Nishmas Avram quotes from the Gaon Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman writes, he quotes first from Norvath and from Shlomo Zalman. He says, Chisunim l'mineihem, vaccines. Omnam, ein kol safek shesidras ha-chisunim sha-yelad mekabel ba-ofen shigrati monas machalos mimenu va-achlusya. There's no question that the series of vaccines that a child gets helps him, it protects him and the population. Ach, yesh horim shemafachdim eizushi sikun sheish bedavar. There are some parents who are concerned about this. And as we pointed out, it could be that their concerns are completely unfounded. Omar li hagon Rev Yoshua Neuvert, who just passed away, Zechon Levracha, she'ekev ha'pach hazeh no nitan b'halacha l'achriach horim sheyaldeim yikabla chisunim. His opinion is you cannot coerce parents to vaccinate their children. You should try to encourage them, you should try to convince them, but you cannot coerce them. And similarly, it says about the pox. That's what you have to try to encourage them.
So you're not allowed to force them because you'll protect others?
Oh, so once again, this is just about the parents themselves. Right. We'll get to the community in a minute. But just, oh. But Rabbi Bush quotes in the name of Rav Yashiv, Zichron Levracha, a different approach. Rav Yashiv says they must be vaccinated. Parents must vaccinate their children. Why? So this goes back to a much broader aspect of halacha that's ne'emonos harofim. That in halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, you trust doctors. Doesn't mean you don't trust the Rosh. It means you have to follow the science of your day. So generally speaking, if a doctor says something, a chola comes to the doctor says he has to eat in Yom Kippur. And the chola doesn't know one way or the other. So the doctor says he has to eat on Yom Kippur, so the posik will tell them, you're mechuyev to eat on Yom Kippur. You're a chayev, obligated, mitzad halacha, because the doctor says you need to eat on Yom Kippur. So Rav Yashiv's argument apparently was This is what Rabbi Bush quotes. I think he quotes from Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tatz, who heard this, I think, from Rabbi Yashiv. He says, if standard medical procedure is that every child must get vaccinated, if that's what the medical community says, so then that's what the halacha says. So the halacha says you have to listen to the doctors. If the doctors say you have to get vaccinated, so you have to get vaccinated. End of the story. That's standard medical procedure. Even ad kedei kach, that this would extend potentially even to Chilul Shabbos. Says Rosh Hashanah Zalman in a tshuva on page 10 in the Mincha Shlomo and Ma'adur Tinyan and Simen Chavtes. He's discussing here what's called Safek Pikuach Nefesh. And this is an important calculation because you will say to me, wait a second. You're right. The danger of the vaccine is echad mini elef alfei alafim, but the likelihood of getting this disease is also not 10%, generally speaking. So aleph, number one, in an outbreak, it's much higher. Number two, if nobody got the vaccine, it would also be much higher. Now, you're right, it might not get to the 10% threshold, but number three, and this is where Shlomo Zalman starts with, what's the gather of Safik Pikuach Nefesh? His suggestion is, he says, Anochi mistapakti bezeh tuva, I'm not sure, but he says, Keva derech shrov b'nei adam levroach mizeh, if most people are worried about it. So that says something to me. You're right, maybe the chance of getting polio is less than 10% if nobody got vaccinated. Let's say nobody got vaccinated, it would still be less than 10%. But the fact that everybody gets vaccinated, what does that show me? That everybody's worried about it. So even now, if it's less, it should be begeder safek pikuach nefesh, potentially. Because if everybody's worried about it, that makes it a safek. If nobody was worried about it, they wouldn't get the vaccine. So therefore, there is reason to consider it a safek, potentially. Rav Shefter likes to quote this from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said that the level of risk and benefit that a person needs to think about depends on their own personal emuna, their own personal concern. So some people, they go skiing, they're not worried about skiing, they love skiing. Skiing is great. Other people, like me, I get very nervous about skiing, so I don't go skiing. I'm worried about my own health and everybody else's. So I'm nervous. I'm not that coordinated. I'm much better off sitting in the lodge with a cup of hot chocolate, and everybody's much safer that way. No problem. So it depends. Chazon Ish says, you know, you have to know how nervous you are about certain things. Look at the whole modern world. Everybody's nervous about these diseases. Everybody's nervous about it. So that's why we're all getting vaccinated. So now look at the end. Oh. So he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, let's say getting the vaccine on Shabbos, which potentially if you're drawing blood, which depending on the kind of vaccine it is, if it's subcutaneous, it's into the vein, all these different kind of shalos, whether it's Daraisa or Drabana, but he says, Mash Enkin, Im Echad Nimtza B'mokam Kazeh. I'm in the end of section four lines up from the end of the paragraph. She Yodea Borer, he knows for sure. She Im Lo Yarchiv Achshav Es Ha'abobuos B'Shabbos. If for some reason he's in a town and the doctor's only there today, and if he doesn't get the inoculation today, Yitztarech Lechakos Dalet Ohei Shonim, he's going to have to wait 4 or 5 years. Kevon de Bizman Berube Kazeh, since in such a long time, Vadai Nivholim Umefachadim, people are definitely worried. You're right. If you'd say, okay, I can't get the vaccine today, I'll get it next week. Does anybody worry about waiting 2 weeks to get the vaccine? Nobody worries. But if you knew, and this already comes from the Tshuva Me'ava, years ago in the 19th century, if there was a doctor who came around only... He only came once in 5 years. That's it. You lived in a shtetl in Czechoslovakia. You would not see this doctor for 5 years. He's only there on Shabbos. Says of Shlomo Zalman, Efsher de Shapir Choshev Kepikuach Nefesh V'Doche Shabbos. Ad Kedekach, it's considered enough Pikuach Nefesh to get the vaccine on Shabbos. And of Shlomo Zalman, assuming even if the vaccine would violate Shabbos, which many cases the vaccine does not violate Shabbos. But now you're starting to see how this concept of the Safek Pikuach Nefesh is serious. So the last point I wanted to make in the last few moments that we have remaining shifts from the perspective of the individual to the perspective of the community. Dr. Shafran, he was discussing a case of a lawsuit, Lo Aleinu, in Israel, the family of Lee Lifshitz, who suffered chronically from Lennox Gestaut, an infantile epileptic type disease. I don't know what that is, but this is what it was. And her parents claimed that the anti-pertussis component of the DTP vaccine initiated or aggravated it. And they sued Kupat Cholim and the state. So this was a whole discussion. So the discussion here in Dr. Shafran's article is about whether or not the state has the right to vaccinate the public. Forced vaccination. The converse to that discussion would be similarly, today, does the school have the right to insist that all of its students be vaccinated? And that's exactly the case that happened last week. I heard it on the radio. They interviewed a father. It was all over the news. And on NPR, they interviewed the father of a child who I forget what illness he has, lo aleinu, the Baruch Hashem should protect us. He has this illness. The kid goes to a public school. So the father said to the public school, he said, I would like to request that no children be allowed in the public school because if they are not, who are not vaccinated, because if my child gets this disease, he will die. Pashut, he will die. And it only came to light now after the episode that happened in Disneyland. So this became the big tumult. Can the school insist that all the children get vaccinated? So one taina in the scientific community is there's something called herd immunity. Herd immunity says, look, let's look around. 99% of the population is getting vaccinated. So what's the big deal? You don't want to get vaccinated? You decide you want to take an out? And in many states, it's mandated to get vaccinated unless you have a religious exemption. And that's exactly the discussion right now in society. What is a reasonable exemption? A person wakes up, parent wakes up in the morning and says, I don't want to vaccinate my kid. Is that a good enough exemption? Is that a religious exemption? I believe that this is not the way of God. Is that a religious exemption or is that just mishigas? That goes to a bigger discussion. You know, in halacha, in some cases, we would forcibly medicate somebody. A patient arrives at the hospital and they're going to die. They're going to die, but all they need is an aspirin. And they say, oh, I don't take aspirin. The patient's 40 years old, completely healthy, but they're in a particular, I don't know what this illness is, I just made it up. All you have to do is give them an aspirin, and they'll be just fine. The guy says, I don't take aspirin. I'd rather die than take an aspirin. So what would the physician do? You give them the aspirin, like it or not. The halacha would say, you must. The Magen Avraham says, you must give them the aspirin. Too bad. You don't like it, you can't throw away your life. So can we mandate that all kids get vaccinated? So some will say, oh look, there's the herd mentality of inoculation. So some point out, Rabbi Flug, and I could probably get this, he said it's much better in color, because when I printed it, they did a diagram, a study of the effect of one person not getting vaccinated in a herd. And how it definitely does have a big impact. He writes here, he says, it doesn't come out so good when it's in black and white. And you probably can't see it from all the way back there. But there is a chart. They did a scientific analysis of one person not getting the vaccine and what that's going to do to the people around them. That's number one. Number two, it would seem to me that there's another problem of saying, I'm not going to get vaccinated because of the herd mentality. Because everybody else is going to get vaccinated. You run the problem of what's called, in a totally different area of halacha and choshen mishpat, of the free rider conduct. Chavis Yoyer, the great Rav Yoyer Bachrach in the 15th century in Germany, was asked the following shaila. There was a community that didn't have a chauffeur blower. So they used to hire every year, whatever, for 10 zlotys, they used to hire a guy to blow the chauffeur in their town to come for Rosh Hashanah. So of course, this year there's crazy pogroms on the roads. The guy says, I'm not coming. So they say, well, we need a chauffeur blower. He says, I'm not coming. 10 zlotys, I'm going to come to you and put my life in my hands. They say, no, we'll pay you 100 zlotys, the community says. 100 zlotys. The guy says, 100 zlotys? Okay, we'll do it. So now they come to the Balabatim and they say, look, you know, we want a chauffeur in the community. We need 100 zlotys. So one particular member who can afford it, he says, I used to pay 1 zloty. I'm not paying 10 zlotys this year. Go jump in a lake. I don't want to pay 10 zlotys. But, he says, you know where I plan to be on Rosh Hashanah. You guys go raise the money. I'm going to be in shul. You can't stop me from coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah. So they sent a tshuva to the Chavis Yoyer saying, wait a second, could we tell the Baal Tokeya to have kavana not to be motzi that guy? And what's the answer? Yes. Yes. Why? Because then every other Chaim Yankel is going to say, he didn't give 9 zlotys, 10 zlotys, I'm not going to give. And what's going to happen?
He wanted the money.
No one's going to give. I can come to, you know, American Airlines. I could walk up to the ticket counter, right, you know, 2 minutes before a plane's going to board. I'm going to say, look, you have an empty seat. You have an empty seat. This once happened to me. I was stuck in Memphis. I was trying to get back. There was a crazy storm. So I was on, you know, from airline to airline. Finally, I ran American. They put me, God bless them. The lady was very nice. Tried to get me. She put me, finally, I got on the plane. I sat down to see. I'm like, oh, thank God I finally got on the plane. I'm texting the Chama, don't worry, I'm coming back. Then comes the dreaded look. The lady has to come down. She looks on the plane. She goes, they didn't have time to get me into the computer, blah, blah, blah. They had to get out. I couldn't stay. I said, what do you mean? I have a seat. They said, no, they have to write it down officially in the register, blah, blah, blah. You know, they can't take off without all the things being in order. And they couldn't get it done in time. It was too late. Okay, why can't I come to the plane 10 minutes before the plane's going to take off and say, look, I see that empty seat. I'd like to take it. Zenen evizelo chaser. Why can't I come to the bus driver in Israel and say to the Eged bus driver, I see an empty seat. Can I get on the bus? You can't do that because that's the whole enterprise. So the whole thing doesn't make sense. Everybody's going to say, oh, I don't want to get vaccinated. There's a herd vaccination. What's going to happen? So all of a sudden, tons of people are going to start saying, I don't want to get vaccinated. That's the Chavos Yaris tshuva. You can't do that. No one person can say, oh, I'm not going to do it and let everybody else do it. Because then no one's going to do it. You want to build a shul, you want to build a mikvah, you want to build a school. Everyone's going to say, let somebody else pay for it. Of course. You can't say that. Similarly, the same kind of thing here. You're going to have the free rider problem. The free rider conduct problem. And similarly also, I think it's wrong from a hashkafic standpoint to say, look, I'm going to send my child to school and I don't care about anybody else. What kind of an attitude is that? Even if you yourself were opposed to vaccines, how dare you foist yourself and your hakparas, which maybe you're permitted to do, how dare you foist that on somebody else? One could say, no, I'm not using this beloshin meduktuk. But in a certain sense, not meduktuk, but b'mashal ba'alma, it's almost like a rodef. It's like a rodef. Again, analogy only. Let it be clear, because that term has been used and misused and abused. I'm not saying the child is a rodef. I'm saying the concept of rodef is, look, here you're taking somebody who doesn't have a vaccination, and you're putting all the other children who have the vaccination at risk, because if there's an outbreak, it would even affect children who already have the vaccine. So it seems to me it's very hard to understand the perspective of that parent that's very selfish. If you told me this suffix is a very big suffix, but we know the suffix is echad mine elef alfe alafim. It's so far. So the school, and that's what he points out in the end of Rabbi Bush's article, that many poskim, the majority of poskim, say that the school has the right to not accept children who won't be vaccinated. There's a minority opinion that disagrees, but that the majority opinion seems to say that you have the right to be vaccinated, and many poskim say that you're not just permitted, you're obligated. And let's conclude with one case study, one final case. We're a little over time. This is the new set of svarim that I just got from Yitzchak Zilberstein, from Bnei Brak, the son-in-law of Rav Yashiv Zatzal. So he has a whole set of medical halacha svarim, kfiya al chisun sheyesh bo chashash nezek muat. So he has this shaila from a popular standpoint, meaning from the community. Ha'imuta l'rofim lichfos al atzibur. Is it permitted for the doctors to coerce the population, lakachas trufas, mena, o zrikos, hanikra, zrikos chisun, to take inoculations, vaccines? So, kugon ayadei shelo yaskimu l'tipol l'tabu b'cholam ken yikabal sachisun. How are they going to force it? They'll say, guess what? You want to be a patient in our hospital? You got to get a vaccine. Otherwise, you can't be a patient here. Shaharei afal pisha zrikos elu mechasnos, even though they cover, they are things that take care of us. Mikol makom hari lefisifer afuahim gormos nezek gufani be'erech 3% mehamekablim. The statistics that he's working with are 3%. Now, I'm not sure if statistically that's accurate. It depends, I guess, on which kind of vaccine he's talking about. What's that? It's, if this is 3% is very high. 3 is 3 out of 100. So I'm not...
So the people who got the vaccine will get hurt by the vaccine?
Yes, at 3%. Is it mutter? So look at what he writes. Ha'im mutar ligrom nezek vada'i, vada'i. Is it permitted to give a guaranteed danger lith sholosh achuz me'atzibur to 3% of the community kedei lenasos v'limnoa machla efsharish she'ina pikuach nefesh le 97% to avoid the potential pikuach nefesh? He says... Yesh lo haniach shekol adam. I assume that every reasonable person yaskim lekabel toeles b'97%. A reasonable person themselves will accept upon themselves the risk of 97% lamrod hachashash katan shel 3%. We don't worry about that. A doctor has the right to cure, to heal. Maybe the person will accidentally harm the patient. Nonetheless, he's still allowed. And therefore, next line, lefishiko hadas hatrufos anal mutaros ve'ein chiyuv lerofi lefarsim al sakana muetis. You don't have to even publicize the fact that there is this small amount because reasonable people would accept this. So therefore, he says that it is appropriate to set a public policy to mandate vaccinations. So maybe individuals have certain chashashos, but you can't take, from a public policy standpoint, you can't take that one person and say, oh, you're going to be viewed as an island. It has to be viewed in the context of the public policy. So the public policy makers, they have the right to say, yes, we will institute a policy that only children who are vaccinated are allowed in our school, that will be treated by our doctors and hospitals, because the overwhelming percent, and he's talking about a very high percent, he's talking about 3%, and some of these vaccines that we're talking about are one in several million. Obviously, ultimately, the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, and he decides who's healthy, and we need the Siyata D'Shamayah. Hashem should bless us all with good health, and all of Chol Yisrael should be Misrapim. But it seems to me, and this is what Rabbi Bush concludes his article with, that at the end of the day, professing a belief, a religious belief, that vaccination is inappropriate from a Jewish standpoint. And hopefully we should all get those vaccines and everybody should be healthy. Shkoyach.